let's go ahead and take a look here. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Lord, we come before you asking you to help us, Lord. We want to be a church that glorifies you. I believe, God, if it's not presumptuous of me, I believe we are doing that. But, Lord, I believe we could do it better, and we need your help. Lord, show us. I believe you have been showing me some things we need to work on, a lot of things I need to work on. God, help me as I lead this church, your church. Give me wisdom, Lord. Help me to do it right, to do it well. And God, help us as your followers to be willing to make the changes necessary. God, help us, please, to be strong and of a good courage. Lord, we are frail and weak. We have fears. We fail you. God, we need your help. We need you to meet with us every day. God, I pray you'd be with the work that we're doing, the churches we're trying to start. Lord, I know you want churches started. Help us. Help us be strong and of a good courage and go do it. Lord, give us unity in this church. God, that we won't be perfect, but God, help us to fall in line with the, just like the churches in the book of Acts. God, I pray that your word would have free course, that it would penetrate hearts. Lord, even now as your word is preached, it would penetrate hearts. And God, I pray that everybody here knows that I love them. And I seek their good. I want to help them. I'm not mad at anybody. I don't hate anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to help. I pray you'd use your word, Lord, to challenge us, to encourage us. Please, God, we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know what? Once we enter into the life of salvation, that's a life of serving God. I like as you look at Exodus and you see that they are given the Passover. I'm getting a ringing or something here. I don't know what's going on if you're hearing that. But as they are given the Passover and they're given the instructions for how to eat the Passover, it's told that they're to eat the Passover standing up. On their feet, not sitting down, but standing up, they're to eat the Passover. You think, why would God have them do that? The Passover pictures our salvation. It is the blood applied. And us knowing Christ as our Savior, it's the blood applied. So as you look at the Passover and you see that they're to eat it standing up, the application would be, or for us today anyway, would be that we are saved to serve God. We are not just saved for heaven. That is not even the goal of salvation. We were speaking about this yesterday in the meeting before soul winning. We were talking about this. The goal of salvation is not heaven. That is a byproduct of salvation. Amen. Okay, the goal of salvation is to get us to know God. Right. It says in John that this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. So eternal life is to know God. So as we get saved, we are saved to serve God. So as we enter this life of salvation, it's a life of serving God, and that life catapults us into spiritual warfare. whether you want it or not. God doesn't save somebody for them to sit on the sidelines. The Bible doesn't know of that. It does not know of that. You look at the book of Joshua, there's a good parallel there as you look at Joshua, and you could look at it like the application, at least for a New Testament Christian, would be that it's going on into the victorious Christian life. Victorious Christian living. Some people have said, oh, it's heaven. No, it's not that. It's victorious Christian living. Because as soon as they enter into this, what's the first thing they start doing? What's the first thing that starts happening in Joshua? Who knows? Help me. What's that? War. That's right, war. They go into battle. First thing they start doing, get ready for battle. Isn't this what God's encouraging him about right now? Hey, go take that land. Be strong and courageous. He tells him, I think, two or three times, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Because Joshua was scared. He was afraid. God said, be strong and courageous. You're about to enter into battle. You're about to enter into battle. As we get saved, it is joyous. Praise God for it, man. I rejoice in my salvation. Amen. I love the fact that I'm saved. I love that God redeemed me. I love that I can never lose my salvation. Ever. Ever. But He saved me to serve Him, and He threw me into battle. You enlisted in the Lord's army when you got saved. That's what God expects. The Bible knows nothing different than that. There is no part-time Christianity. You're in the battle. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 talks about it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in it. We're in it. Look, before you even enter, you're just a bystander. You're just like collateral damage before you get saved. Because that's all you are. You're not fighting in the battle. You're just there like, the bomb blew up my house and I lost somebody. That's like what it's like. You're not a soldier till you get saved. And then you're thrown in, you're catapulted into that battle. Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church, because He knew that the life of a disciple was serious business and it thrusts us into war. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does that mean then? That the gates of hell are on attack. That's what it means. That's what it's telling us. So we get saved, and He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And we could get off on all this and start looking at the church and things like that. You know, salvation does not put you into the church. Salvation puts you into the family of God. Amen. Jesus promised the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church, meaning the church is going to be attacked. That means that you're going to see all these things out there that call themselves churches, because the church is being attacked. Because there's spiritual warfare on the church, and it's attacking doctrine. It's changing doctrine. Why? To weaken it. Because the devil knows that he can't do anything against the church of God unless he gets in and corrupts it. Just like Balak, he got him and he said, hey, curse God for me. I'm going to hire you. I'm going to pay you. Curse God for me. He said, I can't do but what God says. He says, just come look at him and curse him. He says, no, I can't. I can't. I've talked to God. God said, I can't curse him, but here's what you can do. You can just intermingle with them. That's what He's done, and it destroyed Israel. That's the same thing He's done in the churches. It's destroyed the churches. But thank God for the promise. We see it right there. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. That means the church is always going to be here. It'll always be here. And God says, hey, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means the attack is on. So when we get saved, the natural inclination, the only thing the Bible knows, is that of course somebody that's saved is going to join my church. And the battle's on. And that's where you get that spiritual protection. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's where the spiritual protection's at. He's the head of this church, and we need that protection. For a soldier, there's many fears that have to be faced. I mean, think about it. Going into battle. The fear of your first time in a firefight. The 10th time in a firefight. The 50th time in a firefight. Is this the one? Is this the one? Yeah, you get more used to it, but it's still, you never know. You don't know. the fear that would be going through you. Sadly, though, many choose to run from the service of their Lord and the service He's called them to. They choose to leave it. They enlist, but then they say, oh, whoa, I don't want to do that. I just wanted to get to heaven. I didn't want all that. See, the motive for salvation is wrong. That's another sermon, though. Many choose to run from the service of their Lord. Joshua found himself in this exact situation. Moses has just died. He is now the leader of the children of Israel, probably 2 million strong. Here, your turn. That's a little overwhelming. I would be nervous, afraid, feel inadequate. I'm not Moses. I can't do this. I'm not able. No way can I do this, God. These are the exact thoughts that Joshua was having. I guarantee it. You say, you don't know that. The Bible doesn't say that. Come on, just think a little bit. How would you feel? And then look at everything that God tells him. How many times He tells him, don't be afraid. Fear not. Be strong and of good courage. I'm with you. I'm with you. Just like I was with Moses, I'm with you. I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. I've got this. Why? Because God knew he was scared to death. He was afraid. He said, I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. I can't be a preacher. I couldn't do that. I can't do everything you do. God says you can. God says otherwise. Joshua thought, I can't do it. God says, yes, you can. And he turns him to the book. It's time for Joshua to step up and fill his position as his generation's leader. And that's what we need here. This is what we need in this church. We need men to step up and fill their spot as a leader for this generation. Amen. That is exactly what we need. By the way, we need ladies to step up too and fill their spot. Amen. As leaders in this generation. And many times, oftentimes, that's going to require following your husband. Following your husband. Filling your spot. God, in speaking to Joshua privately right here, this is a message given to Joshua, is seeking to prepare a leader for the fierce battles ahead. That's where God's going to start. He's going to start with the leadership. It's no different today. God still wants to prepare leaders for the fierce battles before us. That's what He's wanting to do. Nothing has changed. When we are on a God-given mission facing our fears and we choose to walk in obedience to God's word, He promises to guide and be with us every step of the way. That's the promise from God that we just read in this passage right here. That if we're on a God-given mission, God says, hey, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to be with you through your fears. I will never leave you. I'm right there with you. Keep going. That's the promise He gave to Joshua. Joshua, you go take that land. It's yours. I've given it to you. I've given it to the children of Israel. I'm going to be with you. Go do it. You can do it. That's the same thing God's telling us today. He's going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's put us on a mission and He says, guess what? I'm with you. Go do it. Go do it. I'm with you. And we have example. We have history at least to help us. We can look at the book of Acts and see, man, Paul was getting beat. He was getting stoned. He wasn't shipwrecked and he did it. Can't we? Can't we? With the liberties we have, can't we? With the things we're allowed to do in this country, can't we? But we got to be sold out to God. We're saved to serve. We're saved to serve. For us to be a church that glorifies Christ, we must realize that God is first going to deal with the leaders. That's where He's going to start. He doesn't go to the children of Israel. Moses dies and He goes to Joshua. He goes to the leader. God first sets out to encourage the leaders with His promise of victory. Look at verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. He said, I do give them that land. He starts off by encouraging Joshua with the promise of victory. He says, it's as good as yours. It's as good as yours. You've got the land already. Man, that's a battle I want to go into. Hey, it's already yours. I mean, he told him, I think it was, who was it, Caleb? And he said, you know, you're not going to die until you guys take that land. I mean, can you imagine going into battle having that promise from God? Like, I'm not physically going to die until we take the land. I mean, no wonder Caleb was crazy. I'm telling you, when he said, hey, I want that mountain, Joshua said, go get it, and it's yours. And he went and took it. Amen. He just went out just crazy. I mean, I imagine he just went out there, just running after them and just slicing people down. And he had a promise from God. Amen. We've got some promises from God, you know. Amen. One of them's right here behind me. The other one, Matthew 16:18. Amen. The other one, Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. All power. That word's also translated authority. Did you know that? 50 times it's translated as authority. 50 times. Authority. That's what he's saying, that power. I've got the power here. You just go do it. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. First, though, as he encourages leaders, the promise of victory, if we are to bring glory to Christ and his church, we cannot dwell in the past. Look at verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass. The death of Moses. He's, you can't stay there. You cannot stay there. Moses, my servant, is dead in verse 2. That generation's gone. You can't dwell in the past. You can't say, I wish it was like it was back then. I wish Moses was here. You can't live in the past. It's gone. It's done. You're it now, Joshua. You're the leader now. It's on you. You can't dwell in the past. And just the same for us, we can't dwell in the past of our sin. We can't say, well, look what I did. God can't use me. He used a murderer like Moses. Some would say he was a coward. He fled. But he sure did use him, didn't he? In my opinion, Moses is the greatest leader that's ever lived apart from Jesus Christ. To lead that many people when there's nothing. It's not like he already had a kingdom set up and places for them to live. No. Like, here, follow me. We're going to wander through the desert. It's like, we're just going to go that way. We're going to head out, southwest onto the mesa. And that's what they were doing. 2 million strong. But that generation's gone. We can't look to the past. We got to be leaders for this generation now. You can't let your past hold you down. You can't let your past stop you. You can't let your failures tell you and speak to you and say that you can't do that. Don't let the devil, he's the accuser of the brethren, don't let him jump on your shoulder and start telling you you can't be used of God. You're no good. God says otherwise. God says you're a purchased possession. You're precious to him. Amen. You're something precious. You are a jewel. A treasure to God. And God says, I'll use you. I'll polish you up real nice. Don't let your past hold you back. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, let's go ahead and look at that actually. I think I want to get verse 13 in there as well. Philippians chapter 3. I'm just going to read it when I get there. That's what I wanted, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I haven't arrived. I don't know it all. But this one thing I do. So here's what I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul, a murderer of Christians. A persecutor of Christians. He was there giving the orders at the death of the first martyr. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, that's where I'm going. I'm done with that. Moses, my servant, is dead. It's you now, Joshua. It's you now. We can't dwell in the past. If we're to bring glory to Christ, in his church, we cannot dwell in the past, and we have to be servant-minded leaders. That is what God is looking for, servants. Servants. Look what it says there in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. That means his servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Look at that. You see the passing of the torch, so to speak, went from a servant to a servant. And that's what God's looking for in us. That no job is too small for us. We're not above anything. I get to clean the toilets? Praise God! I'm dead serious. You know, we ought to take pride in this place around here, and if we see trash blowing around, we pick it up. Oh, someone else will do that. Yeah, someone else will. If I see it or my wife sees it, we will. We all ought to be servants. That ought to be our... That's what God's looking for. He says, the leaders I'm going to raise up are servants. They're not above doing anything. They'll do anything. Joshua walked in Moses' footsteps and was willing to be a servant just like Moses. He was willing to do whatever was needed of him. He followed Moses to Mount Sinai. He battled Amalek when that was what was required of him. He followed Moses into the tabernacle. He was the only one that got to go in there with Moses when that tabernacle was set up and the glory of God came down on it and filled that place. And Moses went in there and Joshua was close enough to Moses. I don't know that I would have had the boldness to follow in with him if God didn't tell me to come in. But Joshua was just so close to Moses that he's just like, well, unless you tell me not to, I'm going to stay real close to you so I don't die. I imagine he was like, Brother Russell, will you stand up for me? All right, Brother Russell's going to be Moses and I'm going to be Joshua, okay? And I imagine as he's walking in, Moses was going into the tabernacle like this and I bet Joshua was just like this. He's like, come on, man, let's go. I'm going right there with you. Thank you, brother. I imagine that's about how it was. He was just, well, I'm going to stay real close to you. But he got to experience God like no one else did. Like no one else did. Why? For one, he was willing to be with the man of God. He wanted to be with the man of God.
Amen.
Secondly, he wanted to be close to God. He wanted to know God himself. Thirdly, he was a minister. He was a servant. He ministered to Moses. He was Moses' minister, meaning if Moses needed something, he did it. That means he saw the need and took the lead. Before Moses had to say, hey, oh, I need this, he was on it. He was on it. He just took care of it. It said of Jesus in Philippians 2, 7 and 8, but he made of himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. God himself took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, here's what he did. He humbled himself. Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself to become a man. To submit himself, subject himself to sinful parents. He became a man. He humbled himself. That's what it means to be a servant. You humble yourself. You're not all lifted up with pride. Like the woman that washed the feet of Jesus with her tears in her hair. Humility. Servant leaders will get up and do what's commanded of them. Look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. What is God? What a statement that God makes. He's saying that's over with. That generation's done. We're starting right here, Joshua. It's you and me. And that's what God says to some man in here. I'm telling you right now, that's how it works. He's going to look at that man and he's going to say, it's you and me. It's you and me. It's you and me. Are you willing to follow me? Because I'm looking for a servant leader. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. Get up. Get up. Get up. It's going to take some work. Get up. And go. And go. If you're not willing to go and lead people to the Lord and be a soul winner, and you're not willing to go as God told us, you're not a servant leader. You're not. You're not. You have to be willing to do what God said, what God's commanded. God then encourages his ministers with the promise that the victory is already theirs. So we continue in verse 2. He says, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. It's not their land yet, but God says, I give it to them. Even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. He says, I've given you all of it. It's all yours. Wherever your foot goes, it's yours. Then he gives him the promise. He says, hey, I've got you covered. I'm giving you all of it. The victory is already yours. God has assured us of the victory before we even step into the battle. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've already got victory. He's already assured it to us. Let's just go. We just need to arise and go. Amen. Just like they said in Nehemiah's day. Hey, let us rise up and build. Go. And so he's told us the same thing. The command, the commission he's given to us has the same promises behind it. Go to Matthew 28. Let's look at that. Save your spot in Joshua, but go to Matthew 28. There's a few things I want to pull out there real quick. When you get there, say hallelujah. All right, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Wherever you go, I've got the power. And he says, go ye therefore. And then we get down to verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And get this right here. It's almost like he's telling us the same thing that he told to Joshua right here. What does he say next? And lo, I am with you always. He says, I'm going to be with you. Go. It's already yours. All power is given unto me. Go. I'm going to be with you. I won't leave you. I'm going to be right there with you. Man, that's an encouraging promise to me as we get ready to start another church. I'm like, thank God you're going to be with us. Then God, give us that building. I don't know where it's at. Put it in front of us. Make our way straight. Make our way plain. God, lead us. Guide us in that. He said he'd be with us. We have the same promise Joshua had. So we look at that and we're like, come on, Joshua, get up and go. You've got the victory. We know it. But man, those walls of Jericho are coming down. Amen. Then the walls of the devil here in Albuquerque are coming down. Because God told us to go. So let's get up and go. Amen. Got to fix this junk. It's a pulpit's fault. I don't even know where the other one went. It's gone. There it is. All right. We're back. This is the same confidence we can serve God in. It's as if he's already established these 100 churches we want to start. Amen. He told us, go. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest. He'll send forth laborers. I believe he's going to do it. Amen. I believe he's already sent some here. Amen. We've got to train them and send them out. Amen. We just need you men to be servant leaders, Amen. To be Joshuas in this generation. Amen. And we got to raise up the next generation too. We got to be like Moses and raise up the next generation, because one day it's going to be said, hey, Moses, my servant, is dead. Hey, Joshua, my servant, is dead. Hey, Dominic, my servant, is dead. Hey, Francisco, my servant, is dead. Hey, Orlando, my servant, is dead. Brad, my servant's dead. Court, my servant, is dead. Are we going to have a Joshua? We've already been given the victory. There already is a Joshua. Let's go find him. Let's go find him. I'm serious. He's out there. The Timothy's out there. We just got to find him. God may be waiting for one of you ladies to reach him. Hey, come on now. Come on now. Where would we be without Mary? Oh, my. Where would we be without Mary? You ladies are needed. Oh, man. We need some kingmakers. Where would we be without a Mary? You ladies might be the one to reach him. You might be the one to talk to him. One of you might be the one to marry him. What do you think of that? So I don't want that. All right, well, you don't have the heart of a Joshua then. You're not the servant leaders that God's looking for. Maybe you say, well, I don't think I could do that, but maybe I could marry him. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. That's it right there. Again, Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me. God's presence gives us the strength and courage to follow these orders. It's God's presence. God says, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. It's his presence gives us the strength to go forward. Look at verse 5 there in Joshua. He tells them, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He says, there's not any man can be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Girls, shh, thank you. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He says, I'm going to be right with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. He promised the victory, and it was his presence that gave Joshua the courage to move forward. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And all of it is based on his presence being there. It's an assurance to the faint-hearted. Joshua was afraid, and this is why he keeps telling them this. He is flesh and blood just like we are. He felt scared, unqualified, and overwhelmed. I'm sure he had some anxiety about it. He's like, well, what are we going to do? I don't even know the next step. Lord, what do you want me to do next? I mean, Moses always knew what to do. You told him, what do I do? I'm sure he's there walking around. When this thing happened right here, I'm telling you, man, I just know that the way I am, I'm sure he was like, oh, no, what am I going to do? How am I going to lead all these people? It's like everyone's looking to me. You know, what do I do? And he's walking around. I believe he's talking to the Lord. He's like, God, help me. I don't know what to do. And God comes up to him and he says, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And he begins giving him these instructions. Now, how he speaks to him, I don't know. I have no idea. But it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. He gives him the instructions. I bet it was an answer to a prayer. That's just my assumption. I can't 100% prove that. But if he's anything like the rest of us, he's just flesh and blood. And he was saying, God, what do we do next? He said, we arise and go over this Jordan. Why does he tell him, Moses, my servant, is dead? You think he doesn't know that? I believe because Joshua was there like, well, what do we do? Moses did everything. God, I'm not a Moses. I don't know how to lead like him. He was amazing. I can't do all that. He says, he's dead. He is dead. Get up and go cross Jordan. Amen. Get up and go. Arise and go. The fact that some of us feel that way about serving God the same way as Joshua only means that we will have to depend on God all the more. And that's where God wants us, dependent on Him. His presence assures us the strength to complete the God-given task before us. Verse 6, He says there, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He says, in verse 5, He says, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then in verse 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage. And he's going to give him, his presence will give him the strength and the courage to do the task set before him. God's presence will give us the strength and the courage to do the task set before us. That's why we want to give him glory in this church. So his presence is here. So he is close to us. So he is guiding us. So he is leading us. So we do know the next step. So we know the next step in our families. So we know how to lead our families with compassion, with love, with sternness at times. So we know how to be a godly husband. So we know how to be a godly wife. So we know how to be obedient children. We need the presence of God in our lives. We need him more than we think. We need to realize I can't do this and be completely dependent on him. Amen. As my kids have gotten older and they've turned to teens, I'm like, there's so many times that me individually, and I know my wife individually, and times when we together have gone in prayer to God and said, God, we don't know what we're doing. Help. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to say. God, help us. We need wisdom. Show us what to do next because we're messing this up. And we need help. And we're dependent on God. And that's what God needs from us. That's what God wants from us. Amen. He'll strengthen us to complete the God-given task before us. In 2 Timothy 2:1, Timothy was told, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, the strength comes from Christ. And that's what we need today. We need the strength that is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. His presence also assures us the strength to walk in obedience to his word. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. His presence will strengthen us to obey his word. Amen. But that means we've got to be close to him. We've got to be seeking him. And that's what the next verse talks about. Hey, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. We need his presence to obey his word. I like this Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God says, I'm going to help you obey me. You got to be close to me. I'm going to help you do what my word says, but you got to be close to me. So walk in the Spirit, not after the flesh. Verse 5 of Romans 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That means if we're following after the Spirit, then we're going to mind the things in the Word of God. And that's where we need to be. And that's us being close to God. When we're close to Him, it sure is easier to obey Him, isn't it? I know I found that true in my life. This one here, Romans 8, 9, and 10 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. God in us. Galatians 5, 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's so many times I've gone to that verse. God, help me walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't want to walk after the flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit. God, help me be close to you. That's what that prayer is. God, help me be close to you. God says, if you're close to me, then I'm going to give you the strength and courage to obey my word. That promise isn't there, though, if we step away from Him. If we ignore our Bible reading, if we ignore our prayer, that promise isn't there to us. See, why am I struggling so much? Why don't I feel saved? How come I'm always doubting my salvation? Maybe it's because you don't walk with God. Maybe it's because you don't walk with God. Maybe that's the reason why. Maybe that's why you're struggling in your walk, because you've ignored Him. You show up at church on Sunday and that's all the Bible you get. How can you be strong? How can you have strength to serve God when you don't feed yourself? Start eating once a week. One meal a week and see how long you stay strong for. You know, after about 2-3 weeks, you're going to come in here, you're going to come in looking like a skeleton, like just kind of dragging in, all tired, no energy. You won't have strength to do anything because you're starving to death. Well, it's the same way in the Christian life. You'll be starving to death. The major cause of our victory is going to be our relationship to the Word of God. And that's it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? When you meditate in it, what happens? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For us to be a church that glorifies God, the Bible must continually be in our thoughts. We need to meditate on it day and night. Does that describe your life? Does that describe my life? Sadly, not as much as it should. I want it more. I want every thought to be on the Word of God, honestly. I want it so much that it's just coming out of me. Meditate therein day and night. That means even when I'm at work, when I'm at school, I'm thinking about it. I'm going over this verse. I'm chewing on it and trying to get all the truth out of it that I can. Meditation on God's Word is the means to change our thinking and get our thinking out of the world. It'll change us. It'll change the way we think. The Word of God should be such a part of us that we can't help but speak it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It's not going to depart out of thy mouth, meaning you won't stop saying it. It'll always be there. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You ever said something, you say, oh, I didn't mean that. Yes, you did. To some degree, you did. I get not all the time. Sometimes we say foolish things, but there was some truth to it. You said it. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. So we have to be so careful the way we joke around. And I'm as guilty of that as anybody in here. It's not a good trait to be sarcastic. Because maybe at times it can be. God's sarcastic at times, so maybe I shouldn't say that, but you really have to temper it with righteousness because it can be really hurtful. So I didn't mean that. Well, you did some because you said it. You know, all those jokes that we may make about people could be hurtful. You know, we have to watch that. You know, today we talk a lot about, oh, bullying. Don't bully, don't bully, don't bully. And I think most of us would be against bullying, but you know, when you even start making jokes about somebody, you're bullying them. They might kind of laugh it off, but you don't know what they're going through. You don't know if they're, you know, hurting inside. Then you got all these kids committing suicide nowadays. Why? Because of stuff like that. So we all have to watch the things that we say. That's why we need to meditate in the Word of God, that it would change our thinking. That good things would come out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If we want to be fruitful, it is a must that the Word of God is central to our lives. It's a must. It says right here, so we're to meditate in the Word of God day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So if we do that, he says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Here's a prosperity message right here. Okay, you want success in this life? You want prosperity in this life? Live in the Word of God. Live in the Word of God. Prosperity gospel right there. Amen. How come no one amen me on that? It's a prosperity gospel right there, I'm telling you. But look what they're about to enter into. What's God's version? God's truth about prosperity. You're about to enter into battle. Be ready. Be ready. Well, it's talking about spiritual blessings. Yes, I believe it can be physical as well. And for them, yes, that's what it was. We're going to give you the land. You're going to have homes you never built. We're going to take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. We're going to give you all that. The application for us is spiritual blessings. God's going to feed us spiritually. He's going to prosper us. He's going to give us good success. And I want good success in starting churches. And I want them to be here in 100 years. Unless the Lord comes back, but I want them here. I want good success. I want to be used of God. I want us to be used of God, that we plant sound Bible churches that stand on the Word of God and preach the Word of God and stand on doctrine and perpetuate that to the next generation. That's what I want. That the churches we start would raise up some Joshuas and Timothys. That's what I want. That we'd commit them to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. That's what we need to do. I want that success. If we think on God's Word like we should, it will affect our actions. So meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe to do. If we meditate on God's Word, and if God's Word is a part of our life such as it should be, it will change the way we act. That's what it says right there, that thou mayest observe to do. You're going to do different things. If you meditate on my Word, you're going to do this. That's what God expects of us. He wants us in His Word. We ought to be people of the book. That's what we ought to be, people of the book. Our thoughts become our life. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart. Protect your heart. Guard your heart. Protect what comes in. Guard it. Kick that thing out. Not that. This, yes, come on. This, come on. Nope, that, out. Because out of your heart are the issues of life. What's in your heart is what you are going to do. Period. You can't know my heart. Yes, I can. I beg to differ. It's written all over your face. It's all over you. You want to go out and live like the world? It's all over you what's in your heart. You're not fooling anybody. Judge not. Now, I'm not to be a hypocrite when I judge, but I'm definitely to judge. God judges them that are without. Our thoughts become our life. God promises prosperity and success to those that obey Him. And it's not our idea of prosperity. They were guaranteed battles. People still died, by the way. Let me just say, as they went into this, people still died. As far as I remember studying through the book of Joshua, the only people that died in battle were at Ai. And that was because sin. Sin was let in. But I guarantee that people still died of old age through the campaigns that went through and through to the end of the book of Joshua as he leaves them and he says, hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15, the famous verse. Says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. He says, you all choose though. And it's at the end of his life. And people died all through that. Life still happens. But they were prosperous because they were obedient to the Word of God. They were obedient to what God said. And that included following Joshua, the man of God, the man that God had appointed to be their leader. And then in verse 9, God again reminds Joshua and us that we don't have to fear the unknown because he's with us. He says, have not I commanded thee? Didn't I command you this? Be strong and of a good courage. Yeah, he did twice. But this is the third time. Be not afraid. Don't fear, Joshua. I know you're scared. Don't fear. Don't fear. I commanded you, Joshua. I'm going to be with you. Neither be thou dismayed. Don't get all out of whack and not knowing what's going on. Just calm down. Just arise and go over this Jordan. That's what I want you to do. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He says, I'm going to be with you wherever you go, Joshua. Just listen to me. Just obey me. When it doesn't make sense, he says, just obey me. But what if somebody leaves church? God says, when it doesn't make sense, just obey me. Just obey me. And we want to be a church that gives God the glory, and we give him the glory by obeying his word. Amen. And in obeying his word, people have left this church. And that means their money went with them. But we have to trust God when it doesn't make sense. Amen. That means we have to be willing to submit ourselves to the word of God. To trust the word of God, to trust what he says, to walk in obedience to his word. And then we have his promise that he's going to guide us every step of the way. As we walk in obedience to the word of God, we have his promise he will guide us and show us. That means he's going to correct us when we're doing wrong. But that also means he's going to guide us and say, hey, look, here's the building I need you guys in. Here's where I want you to meet. And that's going to mean he's going to say, not yet. Wait. Okay, now. As we obey him. It also means he's going to say, you know, that we're like, okay, you know, yeah, we're going to start that one April 29th. He's like, no, you're not. You're going to start it in March. Go. It means he may say that. And then we go. I don't know if it means he's going to say that or not. I just know it means as we walk in obedience to his word, he's going to guide us and he's going to say, here's what you need to do now. Here's the next step. Go. Arise. Get up. I'm going to be with you. I'll guide you. And we all need that in our own individual lives so that we can come here and be unified and we can have God guiding us at home and guiding us here and him getting glory in his church. But all of us need to be willing, every single one of us in here needs to be willing to submit ourselves to his word, meditate in it day and night that we would observe to do. And God says, I'll guide you. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord.